God's Word and Scripture, the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the Israelites of human beings and animals is mine." Moses said to the people, "Remember this day on which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, because the Lord brought you out from there by strength of hand. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today, in the month of Abib, you are going out. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your ancestors to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this observance in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a festival to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen in your possession, and no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory. You shall tell your child on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.'"
We have a new microphone, and the only way to tell if it's on is if I have a green light right here. But I don't have eyes right there, so. Yeah. "You shall tell your child on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' You shall tell your child, you shall tell your children." Whatever it is that we're supposed to tell the children, it is obviously very important, as God has told Moses to consecrate, dedicate, make holy the firstborn, the first to open the womb of any Israelite, human or animal. This is so important that the firstborn child and the firstborn of any animal is to be dedicated to God. The firstborn child would become a holy child, and many of you firstborn think you are the holy children. Those of us that are the lastborn, no, that's not true. And the firstborn animal, well, we all remember what happens to animals when they're offered to God. But nonetheless, this is still big stuff. So big that unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days, and at the end of the 7 days, a big festival is supposed to take place. So big that we are to tell our children that we are doing this because of what God did for us when we came out of Egypt. God says for us to do this, though, only when we reach the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, when we reach the land that is overflowing with milk and honey. When we reach that land, then we are to remember this day with unleavened bread and a festival. We are to remember this day that we will be brought out of Egypt, this day that means our freedom, a day that is also filled with terror. And Moses says that God says that we are to tell our children that we are celebrating because of what God did for us. We have to go back a little bit to find out what's really happening right here. It all started with some plagues. No. It started with God calling Moses from a burning bush. No. It started with the oppression of the Israelites. Remember when Pharaoh was afraid of the way the Israelites were multiplying? They had been in Egypt, but a new king came into power, and that king was all about pure bloodlines, pure Egyptian bloodlines. He became very concerned that the Israelites were increasing in number. What if they turn against us in a time of war? They could join with our enemies and overthrow us and escape from Egypt, and if they did that, then who's going to do all of the work? Nothing tells the people you rule over how insignificant they are, though, if you put forced labor upon them, and that's exactly what Pharaoh did. They built cities for the Pharaoh under very harsh conditions. But those Israelites, they kept having babies no matter how harsh they were treated. And Pharaoh and his people became more and more ruthless. So ruthless that Pharaoh decided to start killing the Israelite babies if they were boys. We girls meant nothing in those days, and that was probably a good thing at that point. But the boys, well, Pharaoh decided he could get control of the Israelites if he had every male baby thrown into the river Nile. Maybe we don't want to tell our children this part of the story. But the next part. Remember how Moses wound up being in a basket in the Nile and wound up living in Pharaoh's house? That's a fun part of the story to tell the children. Of course, little Moses grew up to be a man, and one day he went outside of Pharaoh's house, and he took a different view of his surroundings, and he noticed that there were people that looked just like him who were being whipped and oppressed. He looked around, saw that nobody was watching, and he killed one of Pharaoh's people who was beating one of the Israelites. Again, maybe not the part we want to share with the children. Moses flees before Pharaoh hears through the grapevine what Moses has done, and now Pharaoh wants to kill Moses. Violence begets violence begets violence. Well, Moses escapes, settles into a nice little village, he gets a job, he finds a wife, has a son, and then Pharaoh dies. By now, the Israelites are so oppressed, though, that they are groaning, moaning, crying out under the oppression of their slavery. And we read in the Bible that God heard their groaning and God remembered the covenant God made between God and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Then God looked at the Israelites. God saw the Israelites and God took notice of them. That's sort of a good thing to tell our children, right? We can tell them that part. From there, God calls to Moses to do something about the oppression, the killing, the forced labor of those who had cried out to God. Remember that Moses was like, well, I'd love to help you, but I don't think this will work with me standing up to Pharaoh. Of course, this is a new Pharaoh, but a Pharaoh is a Pharaoh is a Pharaoh. Long story short, Moses finally agrees when God assures him that God will be with him all the way and that he can bring along his brother Aaron. So Moses and Aaron go to visit Pharaoh, and they say, God has said, let my people go so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness. That's exactly what it says in the Bible. Let my people go so they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness. Now you can imagine Pharaoh's response to that. Pharaoh responds with, you can't be serious. And if you are, then from now on your people will not be given straw to make bricks. Instead, they're going to have to gather the straw from themselves and make the same amount of bricks. Oh, and we'll whip everyone if this doesn't happen. Moses leaves, has a little conversation with God, and says, hey, God, there are people being oppressed here. You made me go to Pharaoh. He said no, and now you're not doing anything about it. And God says, oh, really? Well, we're about to show Pharaoh why he needs to let the people that he is oppressing go. We're about to show Pharaoh that no one should oppress anyone. Now, this is the fun part to tell the kids. This is when the plagues start happening. We love the plagues, right? You remember, the water in the Nile turns to blood, then frogs fill the land, then came the gnats all over the place. Unfortunately, the livestock were stricken with disease, and if we have disease, then we must have boils covering every animal and human. Hail falls from the sky so hard that it kills anyone who doesn't have shelter. Then everyone's favorite, the locusts, they come, they eat every plant until the land is just dust, followed by 3 days of darkness. And Pharaoh kept oppressing the people even harder with every plague. But the part that God wants us to tell our children, the part about tell them this is what God has done for us, the part where we are to have a festival, is the part that I just don't want to tell our children. I don't really want to tell you. We have in some ways glorified what happened, and that makes it very hard to talk about. You see, God had one more plague to send upon Pharaoh and his people. God had one more plague to send upon those who would dare to oppress people. God had one more plague to make the oppressors stop. No, God had one more plague to free people who are oppressed. Remember that God heard the groaning, the moaning, the cries of the people who were beaten, whipped, tortured, killed, treated less than, treated as property. It is the plague that we call the Passover. Sure, the Passover brings a Jewish meal to mind or a remembrance at our communion table. And those are both wonderful and beautiful. But what it took to free God's people in this plague called the Passover is terrifying. God told Moses to tell the people to get a lamb for each family, each household. A one-year-old, blemish-free male lamb. And if a household isn't big enough for one lamb, then join with your neighbor. This is going to be a community event. The lamb is to be slaughtered, and people are to take the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of their houses. The people had to do this because God was going to come through Egypt and kill the firstborn animal and child of every Egyptian. The blood on the doorpost and the lintels let God know which houses had Israelites. In those houses, God would pass over. I don't want to tell the children that part. I don't want to tell you that part. And I sure don't feel like having a big old festival to celebrate the death of animals and children. Thank you very much, God, but no thank you. And then I put myself in the shoes of my Irish Catholic ancestors who escaped the oppression of the British during the potato famine. I know there are two sides to any story. But the story that was remembered in my family is the oppression, the killing, the torture happening to them and their family in Tumavara, Tipperary, Ireland. And somebody rose up to help my family get free from the oppression, and on a ship to Canada. And then somebody rose up to help my family escape the death sentences of disease that filled the ships and the holding areas in Canada. And somebody rose up and helped them cross illegally into the United States of America, where the first of my family that came never had official citizenship. Their story would have celebrated any death that came the way of their oppressors. And yes, being good Irish Catholics, they would say that God took care of their oppressors and got them to freedom. What do we do when there's parts of the story we don't want to tell our children? The parts of real life, the messiness of freeing people from oppression, the evil that we can do one to another. What do we do when God tells us to tell the children this is what God has done for us? I feel like we should have the same uneasiness when we come to the table, especially on World Communion, this World Sunday, where all kinds of people are being oppressed. And we come because of the death, the murder of someone who was trying to help people be free. We come because of the resurrection that showed us that God is with us no matter what comes our way, and life and love always win over destruction and hatred. And that is what I think God wants us to know. To spend a week remembering, to hold a festival, to tell our children over and over and over again, here are the realities of life. This is what we do to one another. It isn't pretty, and it isn't what God wants for us. But what you need to know, children, and what you need to remember, children, what we need to know and what we need to remember is that God heard the groans, the moans, the cries of the Israelites, and God heard them and God noticed them. Jesus saw the untouchables, those who were outcast, those who were considered the other and dirty, and Jesus heard them and Jesus noticed them. Our God, our Christ, are listening for the cries of the oppressed and then waiting for us to to respond and bring the wholeness of the love of God to all. Tell your children what God has done for us this day. This is what God did for us when we came out of the land of Egypt. This is what God did for us when we came out of Ireland. This is what God did for us when we were no longer slaves in the United States of America. This is what God did and what God does and Jesus did. God hears and continues to hear the groans, the moans, the cries of the oppressed. And I believe that God calls to all of us to live in such a way that all are free. Amen.